Merry Christmas. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is the familiar text from Luke chapter 2. We read the account of our Savior's birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Peace to you, on whom God's favor rests. Amen. Would you know good news if you heard it? How about if you saw it? It almost seems like a silly question, doesn't it? Shouldn't the difference between good news and bad be really easy to spot? But I have to admit, after this year, good news has been kind of hard to find, hasn't it? I mean, we've had a glut of bad global and national news. We've experienced tragedies at home and abroad. Really, our geographical awareness has grown pretty grim. Think about the places that have broken our hearts. Places like San Bernardino and Brussels, Dallas and Paris, Nice and Flint, Baton Rouge and Aleppo, and just recently, Berlin. In the news, it's been a year of scandals and protests, violence and crisis. And all of this is just a sampling of this year's bad news. That doesn't even begin to take into account what you've been through personally. Your hardships and your setbacks, your financial woes and health issues, they may not make the news, but they are a big deal to you. Maybe this year you lost a job or a loved one. Perhaps you fear that there is still bad news to come. Now, this year has been marked by so much bad news that each one of us, I think, longs for a little bit of relief. We've been so steeped in the sad and the serious that we can easily forget what good news sounds and looks like. And at a certain point, with all this bad news being stuffed down our throats, we might even take stuff that's not really newsworthy, because at least it's not bad. And maybe that's why our culture is so fascinated with the comings and goings of celebrities and the ups and downs of reality TV shows. We recognize that these things are not really newsworthy, But that reality, in and of itself, offers us some insulation, some relief from all the bad out there. Now, maybe celebrities and reality TV shows aren't your thing. Maybe your solution this year has been to just unplug. You've opted out of the news cycle. Your approach is the no news is good news approach. And maybe you've chosen cat videos over the catastrophes of current events. But even if you've tried to remove yourself, if you're being honest, you'll admit there's still a part of you that is inwardly craving good news. The good news is that's what tonight is for. Tonight is about real good news. Real good news is more than a heartwarming human interest piece. Real good news changes you. Real good news is so much more than just a momentary distraction or a brief lifting of your spirits. Real good news is more than just getting a raise or a clean bill of health. Real good news is more than just a birth announcement in the mail or that new phone upgrade. Real good news must be really good and really newsworthy. Real good news changes things. It brings much-needed relief, not just a smile for a few seconds. It brings lasting consolation. It's not just a feeling of fleeting comfort. Real good news is sustained peace, not a momentary ceasefire. Real good news is the kind of thing that gives us life and our lives meaning. Real good news extends healing to us and to others. Real good news changes you in a lasting way, changes the way that you think and act and live and react. But make no mistake, you don't just want some good news. You need good news. Because the thing is, it's not just the news that we hear that is bad. I mean, our world is filled with tragedies. It's marked by violence. And there is much out there that is bad that is deemed not quite newsworthy enough. And if we're honest with ourselves, the bad isn't just outside of us. It isn't just an out there problem. It's in our hearts, too. You struggle, don't you? There's a kind of violence that you harbor and hide in your heart. Anger and greed, selfishness and lust and impatience, suspicion and pessimism, these kinds of things set up shop in our minds. They color the way that we do things, the way we treat people. Everything that we have thought and said this year has not been good and kind, uplifting or comforting. We've been cynical and dismissive, rude and disrespectful. See, things are bad outside of us and inside us. Now, the Bible tells us why we see so much bad. The Bible tells us that our world is damaged, that we are broken because of sin, because we live in a sinful world with other sinful people. That is why we see so much bad around us. But the good news is God doesn't want things to be this way. He didn't design our world to be hurting and flawed, violent and discouraging. The way things are right now is not the way that they're supposed to be. And that's why you long for good news, real good news. The kind of good news that brings relief and consolation. The kind of good news that gives peace and life and meaning and healing. The kind of good news that changes you and the world. And that's why tonight is so important. That's why I'm so glad you joined us. Because God's real good news comes to people in bad situations. As we read through Luke chapter 2, we saw that, didn't we? I mean, yes, we're celebrating on Christmas a birth, but it's so much more than that. The birth of this baby in Bethlehem, it doesn't just put a smile on our face or a bounce in our step. Jesus is the good news that we need. because he came to raise us up, to heal us, to bring us light and life. And this good news breaks during a pretty difficult time. You know, as Luke describes the background for Jesus' birth, he doesn't present this fairy tale. Now, Jesus is born to travel-weary parents who were from a subjugated nation. They were burdened with the hustle and bustle of going back to their hometown to be registered, to be taxed. And even when they were there, they were unable to find a place to rest, a place for Mary to give birth. And there's nothing in here that strikes us as a mythical detail. I mean, as many mothers experience, this baby too decides when it is to be delivered. Luke says when the time came for the baby to be born, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, right alongside livestock. Now, she did the very best that she could, so she wrapped him up in cloths and placed him in a manger. And while these details are memorable, what happens here, the details of this delivery is relatively normal. It's unremarkable. But this birthday is wonderful good news. And you can see that, by the way, everyone else reacts to it. Everyone around Jesus recognizes that his birth was real good news. After all, that's what the angels say in verse 10. They say, "Don't be afraid to the shepherds. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." When the shepherds heard this, they recognized that it was real good news too. Because after the angels left them, they didn't turn to each other and say, "Boy, that was nice to hear." Or, you know, "That was a sure an exciting moment." Immediately they agreed with one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened right now." That's the way people react to good news. And after they saw that child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, they were still overjoyed. They said, "We have to go tell other people. Right now." See, real good news cannot wait until the morning. And even their groggy hearers recognized that this birth was real good news. Luke tells us that all who heard it were amazed. And Mary herself recognized that this was special too. I mean, sure, she had never had a child before, but she recognized that this wasn't just good news for her. This was real good news that brought great joy to everyone who heard about it or saw this child. See, real good news lasts. Real good news changes people. Real good news changes the world. But this is also real good news for you. Now, I know you weren't out in the fields watching your sheep by night. You weren't huddled around the manger bed. You weren't awoken late at night by strangely exuberant shepherds. But this is really good news for you too. Because this baby is special. He's different. He's divine. He was born for a reason. Did you notice nowhere in these verses that we read does this baby have a name yet? But even though he was born nameless, he was still purposeful. You see, when most children are born, they choose the timing of the delivery. After all, nobody wants to have a kid in a taxi cab, but it does happen because babies pick the moment. And even now, science is starting to realize this. Physiologists are catching up on motherly intuition. They're recognizing that delivery happens because the child begins to run out of resources. The baby needs more nutrients, more oxygen than the womb can provide. So to survive, the baby's brain begins to release hormones that wash across the placenta, triggering the events we refer to as birth. One physiologist has described it as a baby's way of saying, "You know, I've had enough, let me out." And yes, while physiologically speaking, that's how Jesus' birth happened, it's an incomplete picture of why. That's only part of the puzzle. See, God didn't take on human flesh because he was running out of resources in heaven. Rather, his love moved him to put into motion the events that we know as Christmas. This was God's way of saying, enough, let me in to save you. Now, you and I, we may choose to insulate ourselves from the bad news of this world, but God threw himself right into the thick of it. We may choose at times no news, but God chose to work and to gift us good news. See, Jesus was born because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Jesus' birth is really good and really news for the whole world. See, scriptures tell us that Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world. See, God chose to be born like this. No one else chose to be born, but God chose to be born in Bethlehem to a young virgin woman under these circumstances, and he chose that before everything was broken. Why? Because he loves you. Because he knew this world would be marked by bad news. Your Lord understood the devastation that sin would bring globally and personally. Christmas happened because God wanted you to have some real good news. Jesus was born because he came to save you. Jesus was born because he wanted to bring you some much needed relief from the guilt of the sins that you've been carrying around. Jesus was born to stand in your place and suffer for the wrong that you've thought, said, and done. As Paul puts it, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Jesus was born to show you mercy. And that's the good news we celebrate tonight. Tonight, we celebrate the birth of our eternal, immortal, and only King, Jesus. Because he lives and reigns, we have consolation. We have sustained peace. He was born and brings us light and fullness of life. See, God's good news, it changes us and our world in an everlasting way. The good news of Bethlehem is God's response to the tragedies of San Bernardino and Brussels and Baton Rouge and Berlin. See, what happened in that little town of David changes how we react, how we respond. We grieve, yes, and we ought to set up preventative measures to stop evil from happening again, but we know we can't stop everything. We can't stop all bad from occurring. But the events of Christmas, this is God's real good news for us. Because of Jesus, we know that the violence and selfishness of this world may occur, but it will not triumph. It cannot, because God intervened, because he said, enough, let me in, because he sent real good news of great joy that is for all people, and he placed that good news in a manger. Tonight, we celebrate that in the town of David, our Savior has been born. He is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the much-needed good news. Amen. Merry Christmas.